I'd like us all now to turn in our Bibles to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, please. And once you've arrived at John chapter 10, we're going to begin by just reading verse 10. We'll be looking at some other verses, but we're just going to start with verse 10. It says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Let's pray. Father, bless your word to our hearts now. Help us to understand and make application of your word to our lives so our lives can be more what you would have them to be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the western panhandle of Texas, there's a small town that is 1 square mile in size. That town is named Texline. Texline had a tremendous beginning in the late 1800s, around 1890, as a thriving center along a new railroad line. But within a few years, most of the shops had closed, and the town's population shriveled to about 400. And even today, around 130 years later, the population is still not more than 500. And one online description of Texline says this: "It has a city limit sign at one end, another at the other end, and not much in between." Well, unfortunately, many professing Christians live lives that could be described in a similar way. Their Christian experience began with a conversion and will end when they take their last breath, but there's not much in between. But Jesus did not intend for it to be that way. Jesus said that he came so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Now, we often focus on the fact that Jesus came to be the sacrifice for our sins. And praise God, he is the ultimate sacrifice. And by his precious blood, we have been set free. But Jesus did not just come to deliver us from the consequences of sin. And he did not come just to provide us with eternal life. He also came so that we could live an abundant life here and now. And before we go any further, let me say that the abundant life is not a promise of health and wealth. Now, the abundant life is not about having stuff. It's about having peace and having joy and having contentment and having fulfillment in your life. And you have to understand, the abundant life is not a life void of troubles and trials. Jesus never promised that the abundant life would be an easy life. Matter of fact, he warned us of just the opposite. In John 16:33, he says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." Then he said this: "In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So the abundant life is not a guarantee of health and wealth, and it is not a guarantee of a life without trouble. So what is it? Well, the word abundantly, of course, means exceedingly, very highly, beyond measure, and exceptionally more. One dictionary gives this definition of the word abundantly. It says it speaks of a quantity of plenty, a quantity so plentiful as to be considerably more than one would ever expect or anticipate. And this abundant life is only possible through Jesus Christ. Look here at verses 8 and 9 in this chapter. He says, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. When someone meets Jesus, everything changes. When they place their faith in Christ, they are born again. And that marks the beginning of a new life. And every born-again Christian has new life. However, not every Christian enjoys the abundant life. And the problem is not that Jesus fails to give abundant life. The problem is that we fail to grab hold of what he's offering. The fact is that the abundant Christian life is available to you today. And so I want to take a few minutes this morning to examine the abundant Christian life. And let's begin by considering, first of all, the contrast of the abundant Christian life. Think about what it says here at the beginning of verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, when we hear this description, we automatically think of Satan. But that is not necessarily the case. In the context of these verses, Jesus identifies himself as the good shepherd. And he draws a contrast between the good shepherd and the thief. And the thief represents all false teachers and false religious systems. The thief is one who falsely claims to be the Christ. You see, there were many who came before Jesus claiming to be the promised one. And there have been many who have come since Jesus' time on earth claiming to be the promised one. And there will be more to come in the future. And notice, the thief comes for his own selfish purposes. He comes with the intention of destroying the flock. And Jesus makes it clear that the thief is a threat to the sheep. When he enters the fold, he seeks to use the sheep for his own personal gain. The thief is not the least bit concerned about the welfare of the sheep. And so the thief in John 10:10 may not be a direct reference to Satan himself, but you can rest assured that false prophets, false messiahs, and false religions all work under Satan's direction. Satan does not want what is best for you. He only seeks what benefits his evil schemes. But that's not true of Jesus, the good shepherd. Jesus wants what is best for each and every one of us. Now, the next thing I want you to note is not just the contrast of the abundant Christian life, but the next thing is the source of the abundant Christian life. You see, whereas the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, the good shepherd comes to bring life, to bring life. And Jesus is the source of that life. He stated this to be his purpose for coming into the world. He said here in John 10, I am come that they might have life. Now, in the previous verses, Jesus says that he is the door. This means that he is the only way to enter into eternal life. He says it back in verse 7. Look at that verse. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And then look again at verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So he comes to give us life. That's a reference to eternal life. But he also came to give us abundant life. He makes it perfectly clear that he desires for us to have an abundant life here and now. The good shepherd wants the sheep to experience life that is immeasurably better than anything the wicked one could possibly offer. The good shepherd knows his flock. He leads them to green pastures, and he protects them from harm and danger. See, unlike the thief who only seeks destruction, the good shepherd is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. Look at verse 11. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And because of his sacrifice on the cross, we can have eternal life. And because of his daily presence with us as believers, we can have the abundant life. And I don't know about you, but I find it very encouraging that there is an abundant life available here and now. But I've got to warn you that there is a condition concerning the abundant Christian life. And so I want you to notice next here the prerequisite of the abundant Christian life. Notice Jesus says, "I am come that they might have life." Well, who are the they that he's referring to? Well, in the context, Jesus is referring to his people. The good shepherd is speaking of his sheep. This means that in order to have the abundant Christian life, you must be a Christian. You must be a Christian. And here's where I get to give you some good news. If you're not a Christian, you can become one today. If you will just call out to Christ and receive him into your heart as your Savior and Lord, today you can become a Christian. And if you are a Christian, if you've received Christ as your Savior, the good news for you is that you can begin living an abundant Christian life today. It's Jesus' desire that all of his followers live the abundant Christian life. The abundant life is not a life that's reserved for a few super saints, right? It's a life that Jesus expects all of his followers to live. The church should be filled with people living the abundant life. But if you've looked around lately, it seems that there are very few Christians in our day and age who have any real experience living this kind of life. I think of what the famous evangelist Vance Havner used to say. He'd say, the church is so subnormal that if it ever got back to the New Testament normal, it would seem to be abnormal. Well, folks, Jesus paid a high price for you and I to live the abundant life. And we need to seize this amazing opportunity and live the Christian life to the fullest. To the fullest. Now, the next thing I want you to consider this morning is the timeline of the abundant Christian life. Several weeks ago, in one of my sermons, I think it was a Sunday morning sermon, I put great emphasis on the fact that eternal life does not begin when you die. Your eternal life begins at the moment of your conversion. Jesus said in John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." Not will have in the future, but hath right now, present tense, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Eternal life does not begin when you die. Eternal life begins at the moment of your confusion. And that's an important thing for us to consider, because too many Christians are living their lives focused on the afterlife, and in the process, they're missing the life that God has planned for them here. Oh yes, we have some amazing things waiting for us in heaven. But don't let this life just pass you by. Maybe you've heard before the saying, some people are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. Well, that may be true, but I can tell you this, that's not God's plan. That's not God's plan. God has a plan for you to live a great life. The abundant life is to be enjoyed here and now. From the very instant that you're saved, you qualify for the abundant Christian life. Jesus intends for you to live the abundant life from the time you're born again until the day you go to be with him in glory. So, concerning the abundant Christian life, we've seen the contrast, the source, the prerequisite, and the timeline. But just what does the abundant Christian life look like? This is where the rubber meets the road. And so before we close, I want us to spend the rest of our time this morning talking about the characteristics of the abundant Christian life. Because there is visible evidence in the lives of those who are actively living the abundant Christian life. But here's what you have to understand, okay? This is the key. This is the key to understanding it. You ready? Here it is. The abundant life that God desires that we live is a life that mirrors the life that Jesus Christ lived while he was here on earth. Now let me say that again. The abundant life that God desires that we live is a life that mirrors the life that Jesus lived while here on earth. Now we will never achieve sinless perfection in this life like he had, right? We understand that, right? And we will never live exactly like Jesus lived as long as we wear this sinful flesh. But we should be striving to be like our master. In 2 Timothy 2:5, Paul referred to it as striving for the masteries. And when we do, then what will happen is the characteristics that we're seeing in the life of Jesus will be evident in our lives as well. So when we examine the abundant Christian life, you find, first of all, that it is a life marked by surrender. By surrender. And Jesus is the greatest example of surrender. He left the glories of heaven and surrendered to the Father's will. He was fully in submission to God's plan. Let's never forget the agony our Savior experienced in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew what was coming the next day. He knew the pain that he was about to endure. And knowing this, Jesus cried out to the Father. It's recorded in Luke 22:42. He said, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He submitted and surrendered to the plan of God. And in order for us to live the abundant life, we must reach that place of surrender. We must come to the place where we say, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." We must be willing to say, "Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. Lord, I'll say what you want me to say. Lord, I'll be what you want me to be. Lord, I'll act like you want me to act." And when we reach that point, we are well on our way to living the abundant Christian life. But intertwined with surrender is another important ingredient in the abundant life, and that's obedience. The abundant life is a life marked by obedience. When you're fully surrendered to the Lord, you obey his will. You follow his directions. And again, Jesus is our example. Jesus' life was a life of obedience. The Apostle Paul illustrates it so well in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Excuse me. Speaking about Jesus, he says, "Who," Jesus, "being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus was God, but he laid aside some of his divine attributes. He humbled himself as a slave. He took on a robe of human flesh and was born as a human being. And he did this in obedience to the Father. And his obedience led him to death on a cruel cross. And the truth is, we may face some difficult times in this life. Following God may cost us. There may be pain and sacrifice. But there is no greater place to be than in the center of God's will. No greater place to be. When you're in the center of God's will, when you're surrendered, when you're obedient, you can live the abundant Christian life. Now, moving on, let's look at another evidence of the abundant life. And that is, the abundant Christian life is marked by fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. There are multiple times in the scriptures where we see Jesus get away from the crowds and even separate himself from his disciples in order to spend time with his heavenly Father. And this is an action that is missing in the lives of many Christians. But it's a vital element in the abundant life. The fact is, you cannot have an abundant life if you do not commune with God. Fellowship with God requires communication. This means that God's word and prayer must be an integral part of our lives. We must take time to get alone with God every day. We must talk to him in prayer, and we must listen to him through the reading of his word. And when we listen to him, he will tell us what he would have us to do for him. And so the abundant Christian life is a life of surrender to God, obedience to God, fellowship with God. And let me give you another aspect of this. The abundant Christian life is a life marked by service to others. Service to others. Jesus said in John 10, verse 45, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus' life was a life of service. All throughout the Gospels, we see him serving others. And I think one of the greatest pictures of his humble service is found in John 13, when he washes the feet of his disciples. Think about it. Within a few hours, Judas would betray him, Peter would deny him, and the rest of the disciples would abandon him. And he knew this would happen, but he still served them anyway. He still served them anyway. And we should do no less. We have been saved to serve. We have not been saved so that we can sit around on the stool of do-nothing and twiddle our thumbs. We have been saved to serve others. Galatians 5:13, by love serve one another. There is work to be done. And the abundant Christian life is a life of service to others. The abundant Christian life, as we've seen, is marked by surrender, by obedience, by fellowship and service. And then finally, let me say that it's a life marked by steadfastness. Steadfastness. Jesus came to earth to seek and save the lost. And as we've seen today, he came so that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And he did not stop until that mission was complete. That's why he could say those famous words from the cross, "It is finished. It is finished." He set an example of determination and consistency and steadfastness. And that's part of the abundant Christian life. The abundant Christian life is a life of determination and consistency and steadfastness. If you're like up one day and down the next, you're not living the abundant Christian life. If you're on fire for a time and then back in the world a few weeks later, you're not living the abundant Christian life. We got to plant our feet and remain surrendered and obedient to the Lord. And we must remain committed to our area of service for the Lord. That's what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And if we'll do these things that I've just mentioned, we can abide in the abundant Christian life that Jesus desires for us to have. Matthew Henry, the well-known pastor and Bible commentator, was on his deathbed in 1714 at the age of 52. He had suffered the loss of his wife and three of his children. He was relatively young and could have complained about his early death. But instead, this is what happened. He had a friend who had written a book on the famous last words of different people. And he happened to be there in the room. And this is what he said to his friend on his deathbed. He said, "You have been used to take notice of the sayings of dying men. This is mine: that a life spent in the service of God and communion with Him is the most comfortable and pleasant life that one can live in this present world." Amen to that. He was a man who truly understood the meaning of the abundant Christian life. So what about you? Are you thriving in the Christian life, or are you merely surviving? Are you making an impact for God, or are you living life for yourself? Are you advancing God's kingdom, or trying to build your own? And I'll tell you this, if you have it in your mind that you have to wait until you get to heaven to really enjoy the Christian life, you are missing out on a wonderful life. You are missing out on an abundant life. Jesus came to ensure that you and I could have an abundant life, a life of joy, a life of peace, a life of love, a life of contentment, a life of fulfillment, and a life of enthusiasm about the things of God. And so I challenge you, don't neglect this great opportunity. Now maybe, you're not living the Christian life because you're not saved. Well, the truth of the matter is, there must be a birth before there is life. And in this case, there must be a new birth before there can be spiritual life. And so I invite you to come to Jesus today and receive Him into your heart and life to be your Savior and Lord, to forgive your sins, to give you eternal life, to make you a Christian, to make you part of God's family. That's your greatest need, to call out to Jesus and receive Him as your Savior. And if you have already done that, if you've already received Christ as your Savior, then my challenge to you is to surrender to Jesus today. Place your life in His hands and say, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done." Do that. I challenge you to take the necessary steps to draw closer to the Savior. Because if you will, then you can live the abundant Christian life. How do you get it? Let's review quickly. Surrender to God's will. Obey God's word. Spend time alone with God every day. In fellowshipping with him, worshiping him, reading his word, praying. Spend time alone with God every day. Dedicate your life to the service of others and be steadfast. And don't quit surrendering. Don't quit obeying. Don't quit serving him. Why? Because by Jesus' own example, these are the ingredients of the abundant Christian life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and for the opportunity to look into it this morning. And I thank you that not only do you make a way for us to have eternal life, and we are so grateful for that, Lord, but we also thank that you provide a way for us to have an abundant life, a life of fulfillment and contentment and joy and peace and love and enthusiasm for spiritual things. Lord, we want that kind of life. And so help us, Lord, to make the necessary changes. Help us to take these five principles of the characteristics of the Christian life and put them into practice in our life so that our life can be what you would have it to be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.